Judges, the 6th chapter. We'll read verses 12 through 16. Well, Lloyd, do me a favor, would you turn me up just a notch? Just a little bit. I'm straining a little bit too much to project the voice. But... all right. Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more, brother. Can you hear me a little better now? A little bit more, brother. How's that? Is that better? Oh, really?
Yep.
Look down at the bottom. Make sure you got the right one, brother.
21.
Does it say,
man?
Absolutely. That's it, huh? That's it.
Yeah.
Can y'all hear me all right?
I can't feel it.
Feeling that okay?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's just leave it there. By the way, before we go into sermon, if you didn't get the directory, is been done because of the great work of Stacy Barber. Thank you, Stacy.
Thank you.
And they're at the back of the church. If you haven't got one already, there's some left back there. Please do. They're $25 each. It's right there. They're free. But please take just one for family, and that will be having enough to go around. And thank you so much, Stacy, for doing that for us. We appreciate it.
It all might be able to make a difference.
What a difference.
Turn it down now, brother. Let's try it now. Okay. All right, now go up a little bit. Let's see how we're doing. How's that? Is that good? Y'all hear me all right now? Can you hear me now? That's the commercial. Here we go. All right. Well, Sherry, that was ingenious.
Yeah, it was.
I tell you what. I couldn't imagine Lloyd had her all the way up and it wasn't working. I'm thinking, I don't know what happened. Then all of a sudden, Sherry said that. I tell you what, the Holy Spirit just speaks to wives sometimes. It helps us out. Isn't that right? Come on, admit it, guys. Yeah. Thank God for Holy Spirit-led wives. That's good. Hebrews 11. Sherry's saying amen. Hebrews 11, 32 through 34. Praise God. Go to the book of Hebrews. It's God's hall of faith. It's hall of fame of those who have faith. In Hebrews, that first verse of Hebrews 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We're talking about faith today. A sermon that's titled, Help Me, Lord. Give me faith to believe. Beginning with verse 32. What more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell you of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. This morning, we focus on an individual in this verse, and it's Gideon. Now, we don't normally think of Gideon. We think of God's hall of fame of those with great faith. In fact, there's an account of his faith given in the book of Judges. In the book of Judges, in the 6th chapter, we look at Gideon's triumph over the Midianites. But it didn't start out with Gideon being full of faith. As a matter of fact, it started out with Gideon being full of doubt. He was so full of doubt, he wasn't sure at all of anything that God told him. And in God's grace, he continued to help Gideon get to the point of having faith. Do you see this? Gideon didn't have faith to trust God at all. But in God's grace, step by step, he helped Gideon have faith to believe him. In the 12th verse of the 6th chapter of Judges, it says, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him, said to him, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. Now just tell me, how many of you have responded if suddenly an angel appeared to you, supernatural, an angel glowing with all the glory of heaven, and said, hey, God is with you. He's with you and you're going to make it. You're going to be great. We'd have said, okay, I believe. I got it, Lord. I'm with you. I believe, right? But Gideon didn't. It didn't quite do it for him. It says in verse 13, O Lord, if. What do you mean if? The angel said the Lord's with you. He says, O Lord, if. If the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? He's looking around at circumstances. He's saying, wait a minute. I see all these circumstances and things are a mess. What do you mean God is with us? We do that sometimes, don't we? Yeah, we do. He says, where are all his miracles that our fathers have told us about? You ever do that? You look at your circumstances and situation and troubles and trials, and you go, God, where are the miracles I need in my life for my family, for this situation? We don't say it quite like that, but we wonder it, don't we? It's in our hearts at times. Then in verse 15, Gideon says, oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Not only, God, can I not believe you're going to do it, but I think you got the wrong guy. He says, indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least of my father's house. I am nothing. God, you made a mistake. I don't know if I can even believe this, but it can't be me, and there's something wrong here. Now, is there any ounce of faith in any of that? No. No, there's none, other than at least he's still praying to God. And the Lord said to him in verse 16, surely I will be with you. Now hear that today. God is speaking to hearts in this place. And he's, if you're listening by your spirit, in your spirit, listen to what God is saying to you. He is saying, surely I will be with you. He tells Gideon, and you shall defeat the Midianites. As one man, I'm going to tell you, God is saying, you're going to defeat the enemy that is attacking you, your family, your friends. You're going to defeat it because I'm with you. Trust in me, he's saying. Trust in me. Just as he tried to tell Gideon that. Well, the angel of the Lord, now, Gideon still doesn't believe. God's still got to help him out. So the angel of the Lord appeared to him. The angel came back. It's a pretty good deal. He gets to see him twice. And this time the angel of the Lord touched his sacrifice of meat, an unleavened bread. And fire just rose up and consumed it. And so the angel shows up, he consumes the meat, the bread, it just poof, it's all gone in a flame. It's a miracle right before his eyes. And again the angel speaks to him and says, peace be with you, do not fear, you shall not die. But the word of God says, yet Gideon still doubted. He still couldn't believe it. You remember what he did? He said, let me put this wool fleece out, Lord. I'm going to put this wool fleece out. I need your help. Help me to know this is true. And when I wake up in the morning, the wool will be all wet and the ground all around it will be dry. And so the next day he gets up and he grabs that wool fleece and it's just sopping wet. The ground around it is dry and he wrings it out and it fills up a bowl full of water. There's so much water on the fleece. Did that do it for Gideon? No. Now think about it. There's been an angel visiting twice. He's seen a miracle right before his eyes. Now the fleece is another miracle. And he still has doubt because he's just like you and me. Sometimes we see the situation is so hard and impossible. We can't imagine somehow God can fix it, but he can. And he keeps telling us he can if we'll just hear him, that he can do it. And in his grace, rather than just throwing a Gideon aside in the ditch when he still didn't believe, because Gideon says, well, God, can we just do it one more time? Let me do it one more time. Yeah. This time, let me put that wool fleece out, and this time, let the ground all around it be totally wet, and the fleece be dry. And the next day, he got up, and it was just as he prayed. The fleece, wool of fleece was totally dry, and the ground around it was soaked. Gideon finally says, okay, God, I think you're with me. I'm going to try to trust you. Gideon began to gather his army for battle. He had 32,000 men ready to go to battle against the Midianites. He's trusting in God. We're going to do this, Lord. It's going to be great. And the Midianites still outnumbered him about 4-1. But he had 32,000. He said, God's on my side. We'll do it. But then the Lord had another plan, didn't he? He says, Gideon, now here's what we're going to do. You got all these men. But you see, I'm going to let you know that I am God and that it's all me that's done this and not you or man. So you get rid of all of them but 300. You keep 300. You remember the story, don't you? Can you imagine what Gideon thought? Lord, was that you? I think I made a mistake here. I must have misunderstood you. Did you tell me to get rid of all of them but 300? Lord, you know they've got over 100,000 men over there, and there's no way this is going to work. But it doesn't say he said that to them. He might have thought it, but it's not recorded in the Bible. He follows the Lord's commands. And they went into battle with only 300 men. All the men had, they didn't have weapons, they didn't have anything. All they had was trumpets to blow and clay jars with candles lit down inside of them, little lights. Remember what God told him to do when you surround them? Blow the trumpets, break that candle, the vase that it's in, bust it, and all of a sudden the light will be seen everywhere. They'll hear all this noise. Just do what I told you to do, Gideon. He did it to his credit. He surrounded hundreds of thousands of the enemy with 300 men and trumpets. They blew the trumpets. They broke the vessel. The light shone, and pandemonium broke out in the enemy camp. They jumped up, began hacking away at each other with the swords. And they ran. They dashed toward the Jordan River. And the Bible says that at the end of the battle, 120,000 swordsmen had fallen by all of their own swords in their own panic in the middle of the night. And Gideon, the unbelieving, doubting, hesitant little farmer, I love this, had turned into a brilliant general by the hand of the mighty God that was with him. Amen. Did Gideon win the battle? God won the battle. What was Gideon's contribution? It was just to trust God. To finally say, okay, God, I will trust you. Okay, Father, I can't figure this out. I don't know how this is going to work, but I'm trusting you. Somehow, God, help me to have the faith to believe. Oh, praise God. This word that you see overhead, it says he eventually believed that God could be trusted. He stepped out in faith to do what God had asked for. As Christians, we're often confused about what to do when our faith is weak. You have those moments. We all do. As Christians, we're sometimes uncertain, confused about how do I respond, and what should I do when I seem to have so little faith for this situation? The reality is this, that we clearly understand that God is our source in other things in our life. For example, if we're struggling to love somebody that's unlovable, if we're struggling to turn the other cheek or to be forgiving of somebody that needs our forgiveness, if we're struggling with that, we can generally find the way to say, oh God, let me pray and give me more love. Pour your love into my heart. Pour your forgiveness into my heart so I can be loving and forgiving of others. And we make that prayer, don't we? Sure we do. Or perhaps we're struggling to be humble, to share with others, to be giving. Sometimes it's hard for us. And so what do? We go to the Lord in prayer. We say, oh God, I'm willing to do this, but I need your grace. Please help me to be able to follow through on what I know is right, to humble myself and be more giving, or whatever the need may be. We know to go to God for those needs. But listen to me this morning. For some reason, when it comes to faith, when it comes to the issue of seemingly needing more faith, we tend to fall into this trap of thinking that we've got to solve the faith shortage all by ourselves. We just got to try harder. We just got to sock our mind and our heart up to a state and height of believing. We just got to do it like somehow we're supposed to do it. You follow me? A desperate father with a boy having convulsions came to Jesus at the foot of the Mount of Transfiguration. He came to Jesus with a need, and listen to what this father said. He said, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. What was that dad saying? He was just pouring the honest expression out of his heart, wasn't he? He was saying, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you're the Messiah. I believe you can heal my boy. Oh, but do I don't know that I really have the faith. I'm so full of doubt. I can't quite see it in my mind's eye that my little boy is going to be healed. I can't quite understand how this can really happen to my son. I've seen you, Jesus, do these other miracles. I've seen you intervene in other situations. I've seen you make a family whole that's broken. I've seen you take somebody that's sick and bring them back and heal them. I've seen those. But in this case, for me, I just don't know. Well, can you really do this for me? That's kind of what he was saying, wasn't it? When he said, help my unbelief. He admitted that there was unbelief and that he couldn't whip it on his own. Do you hear that? Please hear that today. He admitted he lacked faith and he couldn't get there on his own. His honest expression of help my unbelief, it was not some negative confession, if you know what I'm talking about, that's somehow going to keep him from receiving the blessings of God. In fact, it didn't disqualify him at all. It actually resulted in the deliverance of his son. The fact that he was saying, I just don't have the faith, help my unbelief. The disciples of Christ made only two requests of Jesus during their time with him. The first request was, Lord, teach us to pray. And the second request was, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith, recorded in Luke 17 and verse 5. When Jesus heard that second request, this is when he went on to the analogy of a tiny mustard seed. And he said, faith like a tiny mustard seed, it may start small, but it can grow and be tiny and yet still uproot strong trees before it's finished. He's reminding you and me to that. Just a little bit. Just start with a little faith. God, you can do it. Jesus, you can make this happen. But here's a reality for us. We know this is true. We all find ourselves in a moment, in a season, in a circumstance where we feel overwhelmed by what we face. The problem is so heavy and so impossible. It is so hard, and we see it, and we see the needs, and we say, oh, Lord, I know I should believe. I know I should keep all your promises. I know I should let those promises minister to me, but I'm overwhelmed by what I see. I'm overwhelmed by the circumstances, by the issue, by this problem. God, it's too big for me. Oh God, help me. Give me faith to believe. We've all been there, haven't we? We all have. We don't have to manufacture that kind of faith by ourselves. Did you hear that? We don't have to get there by ourselves. God is waiting to impart that faith into our lives and in our spirits. We don't have to struggle. It's not about us. Hear me. It's not about us or what we feel. We must turn our attention to the source. Our attention to the source of all goodness and power, and run to God and say, I will trust you. I will trust your word. God, give me faith to believe for this situation right now. So I'll take just a moment this morning to talk about how faith actually works. How faith actually works. We have on the overhead for you as we begin this. It's deeply spiritual. It's supernatural. It's a deep conviction down in our soul that God can be trusted to do what He said despite what we see, despite the circumstances and events or the problem that just seems to keep coming back to us. Three things happen in the development and in the operation of faith. And the first one, number one, is this: God's promises possess us. We have that for you in the PowerPoint. God's promises possess us. When we're possessed by the promises of God, then we're more likely to overcome all the negative feeling and emotions that our sense of sight tells us. When we're possessed by the promises instead of the circumstances, that's when we begin to say, the promise is this, what I see is something different, but I'm standing on Your promise, God. And it begins to possess us. And we understand that the promise of God proves stronger than our constantly changing emotions. Amen. We're locked into His guarantee. We're locked into what He has said. It's just not a case of seeing a little improvement. So as we go along, we see a little improvement in a situation, and we'll say, oh, things are beginning to improve. Oh, now I really believe. And then suddenly we see it change again, and it's not for the good, and suddenly we don't have any faith at all. It's like we're on this roller coaster. But when we're anchored in what God has said, in God's promise, we keep our eyes on God, we keep focusing on the promise, and He is our source, and we say in our spirit, no matter what I see, I know God can come through. He will come through. Because He's promised, and I'm standing on that promise. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, the one who calls you is faithful. Hear this. The one who has called you that loves you, He is faithful. And He will do it, is what the Word of God says. I love that verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. I don't do it. God does it. He can do the impossible, can He? We have some scriptures for you to remind you of that. And overhead, Matthew 17:20. Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible. Amen. Matthew 19:26. But Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God. Hallelujah. All things are possible with God. Luke 1:37, for with God nothing will be impossible. Luke 18:27, but He said the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. We get hung up sometimes for getting that word, don't we? Hebrews 11:16, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Sometimes we get to that point, we say, well, God is just too hard. We don't come right out and say it, but in our spirit and our mind, we think it, don't we? God has told us right up here in Genesis 18:14, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, when He's saying it, my timing, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. He's talking to Abraham. Abraham couldn't believe God was going to give him a son. And He's saying, I know the situation looks impossible. And it did. He was old. She was old. Way past childbearing years. It was impossible in their mind. Just like in situations we look at today, we say, this is impossible. I don't ever see how this is going to happen. And God is saying to us, if we'll listen to Him, He's saying, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Jeremiah 32:27, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Is there? Is there anything God can't do? The second point today, God's plan possesses us. Not only His promises, but God's plan possesses us. Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things which you've done. Part of the problem is we've got to call on God. We got to say, God, You're the only hope. You're the only answer. I can't do this. I can't figure this out. when we're possessed by God's plan, we rise above our human limitations because we know it takes so much more. Gideon, he had to get to that point, didn't he? He had to get to that point of accepting God's strategy. You got 32,000 men. There's over 120,000 warriors against you. That's okay. You only need 300. That's a pretty hard thing to get over for Gideon, but he did it. He said, well, okay, if that's what God said, I'll do it. It was one of the key moments of his walk of faith. When he got to that point, he said, okay, 300, all right, God, it didn't make any sense, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to trust it. That was trust, wasn't it? See, our intellect fights this very kind of thing. Our emotions fight this. We have to think, well, I've got this idea, and I'm pretty smart, and I understand things. And besides, God's plan involves risk. Can I take that risk? Yes, we can. This is the sad thing that we have to learn, that God's plan doesn't always happen in our time frame. It doesn't happen in the exact way or timing that we want it. And then we fall into that error when that doesn't happen in our time frame, fall back on our own ways and our own thinking, our own ideals, rather than in waiting and continue to trust in God. Only a radical, desperate, trusting faith in Jesus enables us to say, no matter what, God, I'm still waiting. I'm still trusting. There is no uncertainty. I know You can do this. The third thing is that God's power possesses us rather than our own. So His promises, His plan, and His power. We need His power. The Word of God tells us that God's power transcends self-effort. The problem is sometimes we got this need that we want to be a part of the solution. We want a piece of the action. We want to do a part of fixing whatever needs to be fixed. God's saying, would you just kind of sit down and shut up and let me take care of it? He didn't say that, but you know what I'm saying. Amen. Would you just sit down and be quiet and let me do this? Because God's going to get all the credit. Because He deserves all the credit, doesn't He? The result is only what He can do, not what we try to. Well, we got this, we're going to figure it out, we're going to do it. Because it only happens when we're operating under His promises, His plan, and His power. Praise God, the Word says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. In Luke 24 and 49, says, behold, I send the promise of My Father upon you, tarrying the city of Jerusalem till you're endued with power from up on high. In Acts 1 and 8, Jesus says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem, to Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. God's promise to us today regarding power, our strength versus His strength, is this. His power is given to us by His Holy Spirit. That verse in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, you know it well. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. Power. And a sound mind. Do you believe that today? Oh, God's power should possess us. And we understand it is by His power, not through our strength, that the issue that we face, that the battle we've got to win, the enemy that we've got to defeat will never happen unless we understand it's happening through His promises, by His plan, and by His power to be the reason that we have victory. So, in conclusion today, this matter of faith, this matter of faith when we need faith the most, And we find ourselves seemingly having so little of it. It's not about us at all. Do you hear me? It is not about us. It's about us yielding and trusting and saying, God, You've given me these promises. You, I trust you. You do have a plan. I don't understand it, but I trust that you do have a plan. And I'm trusting in your power. I don't have a clue how this is going to be resolved, but you do. And I'm trusting you to meet this need. Amen?
Amen.
Is the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart this morning? Is it reminding you of the thing that you're praying for, the thing that you've been troubled about, the thing that you have a need for? Is it reminding you, is He reminding you today by the ministry of His Holy Spirit that God is faithful? He has heard your heart's cry. He knows what the problem is. He's waiting for you just to hold on to the promise, to trust Him, to believe that He's got a plan, that He's going to bring it about, and that by His power it will be a reality. Just let Him just soak your spirit and your heart with that truth today. And when you do, can I tell you what will happen? Your faith will rise. Oh, that faith that you so need for this impossible situation, your faith will rise and you'll go, oh God, I don't know how, I don't know when, but I know it's in your hands and you're going to bring it to pass. Oh, what a great thing that is when we come to that point in our spirits, amen. What a great thing is when the Holy Spirit is ministering in us and through us, and we don't come to that conclusion on our own, but we do by the faithfulness of our Heavenly Father. Oh, He is faithful. He is so faithful. He will do it for you. Don't stop believing. Don't stop trusting. Don't let the next bump in the road cause you to doubt, because they'll be there, won't they? They always are. But He's there, and He's faithful. Oh, thank God for that. Thank God for that hope it gives us today. Does that give you hope? Oh, I pray it does. I pray it does. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Jesus.
Oh, things possible. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. All things are possible. Jesus is here. Amen.